It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Today is April 1st, so you got to be careful. Like, anytime I read anything in the news, I'm like, is that real or is that an April Fool's joke? Unfortunately, to my fellow New York Met fans, we have a Met injury update, and it is not an April Fool's joke. Ladies and gentlemen, the manager of the New York Mets, Carlos Mendoza.
And you know when I might throw a bullpen?
Yeah, no, he's not going to throw. He experienced some discomfort a couple of days ago while he was, you know, starting to ramp up. We took an MRI again and showed inflammation, so he got a PRP injection yesterday. So he's not throwing for 2 weeks now.
So yeah, this pushes him back probably till mid to late May, maybe.
Yeah, that's right. Because, you know, he's gonna go 2 weeks of not throwing, and then we gotta start building him back up again.
And you know,
that is Sean Manaea. Remember, Sean Manaea early in spring training had a little bit of an oblique issue, and it seemed minor. And it was, all right, we're going to shut him down for a week or two, and then he can begin spring training once he is symptom-free. He was symptom-free after a couple of weeks. He began throwing, and as Mendy just explained, he's been complaining about it. They gave him an MRI, and he will be shut down for at least 2 weeks. Yeah. So you do the math on that. Sean Manaea, who's been so reliable over the last 5 years, not just with the Mets, but bouncing around baseball. He may have struggled, but he would always pitch, and obviously just got that contract during the offseason. Best case scenario is we're talking late May. Because if he's not throwing for 2 weeks, and then you've got to begin a spring training process from the beginning in mid to late April, you're talking about 6 more weeks.
Yeah.
So bad news for the Mets on the injury front as Sean Manaea has had a setback.
Yeah, no, that's unfortunate. And the thing you start hearing the PRP, platelet-rich injections things that they give, you don't hear that for soft tissues. You usually hear that for ligaments or tendons or damage in that regard. So... seems like they're pulling out all the stops to try to get him to feel better, but you're right, Evan, it's not a good sign.
It sucks. It sucks because Manaea was so good last year. He became a fan favorite around here. Obviously, the Mets brought him back, paying him a lot of money. And the good news is it affords an opportunity for others to step up, like Tyler McGill, who took advantage of it in his first start, like Griffin Canning, who threw a ton of sliders in his first start and pitched well. So the opportunity for others exists. But it sucks because Sean Manaea became one of the more reliable top-of-the-rotation arms last year, and I think as we envisioned the Mets in 2025, we envisioned it with Manaea at the top of the rotation, and I can't help but think this is all my fault because I said to Mendy on the air, I said, Mendy, are you ready to announce Sean Manaea as the opening day starting pitcher? And since
you
then,
mushed it.
I mushed it. Wow, I mushed the crap out of it.
Wow.
And even when we got the good news a few weeks ago of, okay, he's symptom-free, he's going to start throwing again, I had a confidence with Manaea. I expressed that on the Rico, maybe not as much here. He'll be fine. He'll be back in mid-April. No big deal. I started planning out the days like, he'll be good. So I feel like I was too confident. This is all my fault. But it sucks. But in baseball, it creates opportunity. And right now, the Mets have a five-man rotation that features Griffin Canning and Tyler McGill. And tonight, we'll see Kodai Senga for the first time. David Peterson had a solid start last night. And we'll see if the Mets could at least make up for the fact that Sean Manaea is going to miss a big chunk now of the early part of the season.
When do you think they will go to the six-man rotation? Will it be immediately after Senga?
Yeah, it's going to be once they have to throw Senga on regular rest.
Right.
Because of off days, they could go for another 2 weeks where they can kind of work around it.
So 2 weeks.
April 19th.
They got to figure out who the sixth starter is.
Yeah, April 19th is the day. You like that?
I do.
And it was going to be Paul Blackburn.
I'm glad you had an answer.
Thank you. Oh, I do lots of weird research. The problem is Paul Blackburn is hurt too.
Yeah.
So he's not going to be the sixth starter. So it could be Blake Tidwell, who made a very impressive first minor league start.
Mm-hmm.
It could be somebody else. So there's your state of the Met injury news. Sean Manaea, unfortunately, a setback with that oblique injury. And we'll see him probably in late May. But I do think we need to make a long-term prediction on when he comes back. We didn't do it with Sean the first time because we were so confident. Now we got to do it. So let's whip out the calendar. It is April 1st. He won't throw for 2 weeks, at least 2 weeks. And then from that, we'll see how he does. So do you want me to go first or you guys want to go first on our Sean Manaea return date prediction? And of course, we save the audio, we hold ourselves accountable, and we see how we did.
Hmm.
You want me to go first?
I'll go first.
You go first.
Yep. What's the schedule on mid-July?
Mid-July?
Yep.
Ay, ay, ay. Well, the All-Star break is in mid-July.
Which is when?
The All-Star game is July 15th.
15th. So right before. They play on Friday the 11th, your birthday?
They play the Kansas City Royals in Kansas.
So that's your birthday.
That's what it is.
You're picking my birthday.
By the way, do you get Slurpees on your birthday?
I'm able to if I wanted.
But I am asking, do you?
No. I'm usually working. I'm busy with you guys.
So you know my daughter, Tegan, my youngest daughter, her birthday is July 12th. And you know what she said to me yesterday out of the blue?
What's that?
Completely out of the blue. I wish my birthday was a day early so I could have Slurpees every year.
Yeah, but if she goes
I was like, Evan's birthday is on the 11th.
I'll give her my Slurpee if she wants. But if she went to a 7-Eleven and said, my birthday is July 12th, well, they're going to give her a Slurpee.
Yeah, they probably would. But it's not 7-Eleven.
No, I understand. All right, Tiki's going with July. That is a depressing prediction. Jeez. Glad we started with you. We need Tommy now because he's going to be very positive. And if he says next week, I'm going to punch him in the face.
Well, he's shut down for 2 weeks.
Just making sure.
3 weeks. It's positive Tommy, not delusional Tommy. So I will go with April.
April?
Yeah, he's shut down for 2 weeks. It's April 1st. That gets us to April 15th. He starts throwing on April 16th. You want to say he makes a start or two? Let's go April 23rd.
Do you want to get this stuff right or no?
What?
Like, are you? Do you want to be right? Like, when we unveil it, instead of being all pissed off, don't you want to give yourself a chance at being right?
So I'm basing this off of the fact that Sean Manaea, throughout his career, has been an Iron Man.
He has.
So I have to assume part of the reason he has been so durable is that he is a quick healer. Minor setback here, but overall body of work is that this guy stays healthy. I'm going to go with April, 23rd?
Yeah, I think you should commend Tommy.
Thank you.
He's trying to show empathy towards you.
Towards me?
Because none of his teams do what your team's doing, tanking. So he's tanking this to show camaraderie with you.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's exactly what he's doing.
Watch how quickly this changes. I don't know if you forgot, Tommy, but every time we do a prediction game, there's a point system, and the person with the most points at the end of the year is the champion. Now, you will get a lot of points for Goldie, just so you know. So knowing that the point system exists, do you want to change your April 23rd prediction, or do you want to stick with it?
Positive Tommy believes in no point systems. He believes in positivity. I'm going to go April 23rd.
All right. Don't bitch when you lose, okay? Don't do that. Sean, what is your Sean Manaea prediction, return date prediction?
Well, unlike delusional Tommy, I understand that 2-week shutdown also means then a complete ramp up and a respring training. I'm going with July 6th, Sunday versus the Yankees.
Really? I think you guys are being really, really negative. Tommy, I don't know what he's doing. July.
Well, God. It came out of nowhere, Evan.
Yeah.
And then now we have a setback. And who knows? Has he been doing anything?
Yeah, he was throwing.
So he was throwing.
He was throwing. Once they cleared him, he started throwing. Yeah.
For how long? A couple weeks?
It's been a few weeks because I remember when I was down in spring training, I asked Mendy about it. And he's like, oh, yeah, he's about to start throwing. So
it's been at least 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And so 2 weeks of throwing, and now it's bad again.
Yeah.
He's getting injections and reevaluating it. And so it's at least, I'm going to say 8 weeks.
Okay.
So that's 2 months. To me, that's, you're getting end of June. I might as well pick your birthday.
All right. No, I agree with the middle of June. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not crazy to say it's even going to, April's out, but May.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with June 20th against the Philadelphia Phillies. I'm going June 20th. So, officially, in our long-term predictions of Sean Manaea coming back. We're all over the place.
I'm super negative. Yeah, Evan picks 2 weeks ahead of when
I pick 3 weeks ahead of you. 2 weeks. Yeah, you're right. Well, 2 weeks is a big deal. I mean, you act like that's not a problem. That's not a thing. 2 weeks? That's a lot more positive.
Very, very close.
It's not very. You think 2 weeks is close in a prediction game on when it has
comes
to come back?
Pitchers that play every 5 days? Yes, I do.
Well, in terms of that, sure, but no, I disagree. Anyhow, Tiki's going July 11th. Sean is going July 6th. Lugie's going April 23rd. And I'm going June 20th. The problem with your April 23rd prediction is I don't think it mathematically could happen.
Mm. I was never good at math.
I hated math. By the way,
I can't believe Tiki knows your birthday. I've known you for 15 years, and I don't know your birthday.
So
you've been working with the guy for 2 years. He knows your birthday.
Whose fault is this?
Yours.
Why is it my fault?
Because it's been brought up in the air, and you go, I don't care about my birthday. His birthday sucks. And he knows your birthday. I knew it was near the 4th of July.
You know why Tiki knows my birthday?
I've actively guessed, and you sat there and let me twist in the wind instead of saying, Luke, it's July 11th.
You know why Tiki knows my birthday? I'm going to make a prediction. I don't actually know for sure. I think when he heard it one time, it's a memorable enough birthday being 7-Eleven, especially with his daughter and the whole thing with
Slurpees.
Yep. Where it just stuck in his mind. Most other birthdays are just random dates, and it's tough to remember. Mm. I understand that. I have a unique birthday.
You're smack between my oldest and my youngest. AJ, you'll be 23 on July 8th.
Wow.
Tegan will be 9 on July 12th.
See? Do you know, Tommy, do you know Tiki Barber's exact birthday?
I sure do.
Go.
It is April 3rd.
When's your birthday, Tiki?
It's going to Morocco.
April 7th.
So you're off by 4 days. You're not even close.
4 days. Sean's birthday, of course, how could I forget, is May 9th.
Nope. When is your birthday?
May 13th. I'm a Taurus.
Well, you're close.
I was close. You're 4 days off.
Yeah.
Of course I knew that. It's easy to remember. Every time my birthday's a Sunday, it's Mother's
Day. Now, lastly.
Is it really?
Yeah. Could you imagine me having to share my birthday with that woman?
I know. What is going on? Now, lastly, you told me, Sean, we have audio from the manager of the New York Yankees, Aaron Boone.
Wait, one quick question. Were you born on Mother's Day?
No, I was born on a Wednesday. Mm. Yeah, born on a Wednesday.
So every Sunday, every time your birthday falls on a Sunday, automatically, it's always Mother's Day?
Yeah. Could you imagine every woman in your life getting flowers, this, that, the other thing, and then you get the crumbs of the cake at the end of the day?
Hey, Mom, here's your flowers.
Yeah.
Where's my gift?
Exactly. Exactly.
So what happens on Mother's Day? It's like really not your birthday, essentially?
I have no say in my birthday. I get a cake at the end of the whatever we're doing for Mother's Day.
All right.
It sucks.
Now, as far as Aaron Boone's concerned, what are you playing for us?
Okay, so we started the show. Do you go back on the rewind on the Odyssey app to the start of the show where Evan just wants the Yankees to continue to score a ton of runs so people can hate the Yankees because he loves it.
Yeah.
So Aaron Boone was asked if, you know, he's annoyed or whether he's happy with all this torpedo bat talk. Let's hear it.
Aaron, what do you make of all the attention the torpedo bats have here overall in terms of bringing to baseball what's been discussed over the last 72 hours?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of starting to smile at it a little more, like, you know, it's taken on a life of its own, you know, a lot of things that aren't real, you know, a lot of things that, you know, I really just look at it as, you know, the evolution of equipment. And, you know, I think I said the other day how we, you know, I went and got fitted for golf clubs 10 years ago. This is essentially that. You know, it's all within regulation. So, you know, there's a lot more to it than just I'll take the torpedo bat on the shelf over there, 34, 32. I mean, you know, our guys are way more invested in it than that. It really personalized, really worked with our players and creating this stuff. But, you know, it's equipment evolving.
He came close, but he didn't do it. He came very close to embracing that heel role.
We're hell-bent on being a champion.
Yeah, like, he could have said, what do I think about it? I think everyone's got to stop whining like a little bitch. Like, Aaron Boone should have just gone full heel, like...
Could he ever say that? No chance.
Nah,
he should have. He should have gotten close to saying it,
yeah,
but he
right.
didn't.
He could have implied it, at least.
Right.
But at first, when he talked about it, it's bringing a smile to my face, I thought it was very similar to how I feel about it.
But I think that's why he didn't do that.
Because he didn't want to go all the way with it.
No, because he's not angry about it.
He's not angry. Well, I'm not angry about it. I'm enjoying watching people go crazy about something that's so stupid. Something that's so not cheating. Like, I find it funny. I find it humorous that guys and gals are like, oh my God, my head's exploding. Can you believe what the Yankees are doing? We all know they're not doing anything wrong. We all sanely know that. But watching the overreaction to it, I find very humorous. Which is why, for a couple more days, I'd like to see the Yankees score about 12 runs a game.
We're leaning into kicking ass.
And Aaron was sort of going down that road, but then he stopped. If you're just tuning in, Aaron Boone is hitting Paul Goldschmidt leadoff for the third consecutive day. We promise we'll get back to your calls in a second, 888-808-1019. And I'll take pictures, Tiki, if you're interested.
Yes.
But Dudley Roberts, who's turning 13, will get to celebrate his first and only bark mitzvah. I didn't even know it existed.
That's a real thing?
It's a real damn thing.
Wow.
So I got my bark mitzvah outfit that has been sent, according to Amazon. Can I show you a picture of it? Yes. It comes with a bark mitzvah yarmulke. And a bark mitzvah, I don't want to get the word incorrect.
Right.
I want to be disrespectful, but it's...
yeah, that's the scarf there.
Yeah, scarf. Right. Yes. Really cool. So, yeah, Dudley's going to get his bark mitzvah.
Dog.
I want to do something fun for him. He's turning 13 years old. And for dogs, that's like an old age.
Dog.
So it's not like he's coming of age. It's more a celebration of life, I like to say. So, yeah, I'm having a bark mitzvah. Does that make me weird or admirable?
Tallit, I think, is the official name.
Tallit, yes. It comes with a tallit and a yarmulke. And, yeah, I'm going to honor Dudley with a bark mitzvah.
Are you allowing the kids to stay up a little later to sing happy birthday when you get home?
Oh, yeah. Well, no. We're not celebrating it today. It's a school night. So I think we're going to celebrate it. I think it's coming tonight. We'll probably celebrate it over the weekend.
Hold on, though. The dog doesn't have school tomorrow. He can't get a piece of cake tonight?
No, but what about the kids?
Dogs!
Yes, about the kids.
What, do they get dessert once a week?
Well, I mean, they're usually asleep by the time I get home.
It's Dudley's 13th birthday. You got to sing Abuelo, I'm assuming, cooked the funfetti.
No, we didn't cook anything.
What are you doing, dude?
We should put Dudley on a chair and lift him up and do the whole tradition and everything.
Dog.
Yeah, we have it planned out for the weekend, though. Thank you for asking. So, yes.
Okay.
Giancarlo Stanton is met the media today. Was he asked Sean about the bat that supposedly he used last year, the torpedo bat, and may have caused injury? Was he asked about the situation?
Yes, so no audio here. This tweet directly from Brian Hoke. Giancarlo Stanton was asked if torpedo bats were the, quote, bat adjustments he said may have contributed to his elbow injuries, something we've discussed on the show.
Yes.
Here's Giancarlo's answer. You're not going to get the story you're looking for, so if that's what you guys want, this isn't going to happen. Stanton said he will use a torpedo bat when he returns from the IL.
Oh, wow. Mm. Okay. So he's
denying it then, without denying it.
The weirdest thing ever. So he's going to use it, but he's not saying that it contributed to the...
No, he's saying the answer is no. That's how I take that answer. Like, you guys are looking for the story that the torpedo bat led to my injury. You're not getting what you're looking for. Clearly the answer is no, because he's already confirmed that upon his return, he's using a torpedo bat.
Right, and why would he use it if it contributed to his double tennis elbows?
Yeah, he's saying it's not true.
Yes.
Which I believe him on. I don't think he'd make it up. So the torpedo...
Especially if he uses it.
Right. Well, he's saying he got hurt for different reasons, and you've been on the top of this saying, no, it's because he lifts too much weights or whatever reason. Stanton has come out with a denial that the torpedo bat led to those double elbow injuries. Any update on when he's coming back?
No, we don't have that
part out.
We don't have that part out. I'm actually starting to wonder if he hasn't fully used or fleshed out the torpedo bat, and now he's going to use it, right? Whatever you want to make from this quote.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a chance he literally destroys a baseball when he comes back? He always has the hardest hit balls anyway.
He not only has the hardest hit balls, there's a newer metric that we look at, bat speed, right? That's a new thing. His bat speed is number one in baseball.
Yeah.
Like, I was reading the numbers, it was like 80.
And that's not exit velocity.
This is
bat speed.
The speed of swinging a bat for Giancarlo is 82 miles an hour, which led me to wonder, what's our bat speed? I'm going to guess like 10 miles an hour.
It's probably like 30.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, it has to be a little bit more than 10.
You think so? I don't know, man. I don't know. We got to get that one figured out, too. We got some baseball activities we need to address.
Who's doing the analytics of all this stuff that we need to do, by the way?
I know. We got to find someone who does it. So years ago, we had a guy I know. He's on the Mets text chat, Adam Eaton. He's in touch with a group that studies like pitches and, you know, your spin rate. So we did do an experiment a few years ago.
Oh, then they definitely, that same group probably is doing
it. Why don't you text him? He's in the Mets text chat. Say, hey, Adam Eaton, can you hook us up where we can measure our bat speeds? Thanks, bro. Guaranteed it gets done. Your tiki barber. What's up?
In real time as we're talking, G is now giving an update on his return.
Let's hear it.
All right, this is from Brian Hoke again. Stanton said he has had advanced to taking at-bats against the Traject machine.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
I don't know why it's spelled like that.
Okay.
He will need to play in rehab games if they're missing all spring training. Quote, I'm just getting the feel back. He said he still feels pain in his elbows, but that will be a constant.
Wow. And he's just going to have to play through it. That's the bottom line with this. And he kind of said that he dealt with that last year, where he played through the elbow issues even into the postseason. Mm-hmm. And obviously, he performed at a high level. I would guess that in terms of rehab, you're given 30 days as a position player, or is it 20 days as a position player?
Right.
I think he's going to have to use all of it because he hasn't had spring training.
Mm-mm.
Like, you're working your way back from nothing. So I think the moment he's ready to start entering games in the minor leagues, you're looking at a clock of about 3 weeks. And then they get him back, and the Yankee lineup becomes even more dangerous, especially since Giancarlo has confirmed he will be using the torpedo bat.
But you can't send Ben Rice back down to AAA after he took 22. That's my issue.
You know what? Take a deep breath, okay? Take a deep breath. Let's see Ben Rice tear the cover off the ball.
He has been.
It's been three games! Mm. What is wrong with everybody in this city?
Okay, do they count?
In 3 weeks, he's doing the same thing. You can't send him back.
I never said that you should.
The who becomes expendable is the question.
Pablo Reyes.
That's obvious. Point. I guess he could catch and all this. All I'm saying is this. When you make the move from 93 to 22 on this team,
I understand.
It's a tough look 3 weeks later to head back down to AAA.
That's not even my argument. My argument, if it is one, is...
do you go back to 93?
Yeah.
With three games into a baseball season, take a deep breath. Like, things will figure itself out. You freaking out? You want me to make an AI song? You can't send Ben Rice to the minors?
Oh, please stop freaking out, for the love of God.
I did it for Mark Vientos.
No, can we just talk please baseball don't. Without everything becoming an AI song?
I haven't done an AI song in weeks. I'm just saying, if you need it, I'm willing to do it. Let's go to Jim in Levittown. Hey, Jim.
I, for one, like the AI songs very much.
Thank you.
I want you to know that.
Thank you.
You know, I'm a Met fan. I'm gonna start off with that. So I really don't care if Yankee fans get hurt. But you're kind of putting them in danger if you have them turning their back to one of the guys who hits the hardest line drives in baseball. And when you go to a game, they tell you to be alert for foul ball.
Right, but it's not while the ball's in play. You're going to watch the game.
You think a drunk Yankee fan is going to think to turn around in time? Come on.
Well, if it's ingrained in his head because he's heard it so many times where it becomes second nature to do it even without thinking about it. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, or you weren't listening earlier on the Odyssey app and you don't want to rewind, then I'm going to tell you again. When Juan Soto comes to the Bronx for the Subway Series, his at-bats, you don't boo. You stand up, you turn around, and you stay silent.
Here's the problem. Our last caller's spot on. Mm. You're going to turn around in time? He hits a line drive, he's going to kill you. You got to be careful.
I can promise you.
Yeah.
Knowing Juan Soto, yeah, as well as we all do now.
He's not going to swing.
He's taking the first pitch.
That's a good point. There's a good chance that that's the case. Let's go to Chris in Manhattan. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. I'm so enjoying the show today. The four of you do such a great job.
Thank you, man. Appreciate
it. You know, that's funny. I'm Tiki, the last caller. Imagine that happens and there's a line drive and a Met fan dives and saves a Yankee fan from getting hit.
Of course, because he wants the Soto ball. Of course they're going to do that.
There you go. It'll be all unity. But, hey, listen, just a couple things, Evan, quickly. Back to the Devers thing.
Yeah.
I remember, if I recall correctly, I think I do, Gary Sheffield, when he was young and with the Brewers, was throwing the ball over the first baseman's head on purpose to get traded.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember hearing that.
Yeah, and that's like, wow.
This is not my idea. I give credit to Gio because I heard him say it this morning that it's possible that Rafael Devers is 0 for 18 with 15 strikeouts, is basically saying, screw all of you. You wanted me to DH. You don't want me to play third base. I've already got my long-term contract. Bleep off. Mm. And when I first heard, I was like, nah, it's crazy. But then you give it thought, and it could be happening. Like, we didn't know about the Gary Sheffield.
I seriously doubt it.
We didn't know about the Gary Sheffield stuff until after the fact. Mm. It's not like we knew in real time.
After he was retired.
No, I think it was actually even before that. I think it was just after he was away from Milwaukee and started to become a star bouncing around baseball. Like, we didn't really know about it. All right, real quick, NFL rule changes. If you're just tuning in, here's what's going on. The overtime rule has been changed. I repeat, the overtime rule has been changed. What they have decided to do, it got enough votes with the competition committee, is it will now replicate the postseason, which means even if you score a touchdown on your opening drive, the other team has a right to get the football.
Both teams are guaranteed a possession in overtime.
They changed that rule for the playoffs a couple of years ago, and now it will be uniformed and it will include the regular season. Now, if I'm not mistaken, please confirm this. They are moving the amount of time that overtime has back to 15 minutes.
No, they're not.
They
thought about it, and then they rejected it.
This is BS!
Yep.
There's going to be
prepared for ties.
There's going to be a lot more ties, aren't there?
Yeah. Ten-minute drives are doable.
Absolutely.
So, or even if you score in 6 minutes and you know you have a touchdown to go back. I guess unless...
Well, hold on. Let me remember something real quick. Because didn't Tony Romo... 2 years ago.
Yes, the Super Bowl, right?
The Super Bowl in overtime. He told us that if the possession didn't end, it would go into the next overtime.
Yes. What was the reality?
And like
with that?
Everybody was confused. Like, what in the hell are you talking about, Tony?
Right.
But he was right. Meaning, if the initial team that gets the kickoff goes on a, let's say, 11-minute drive,
right,
and they don't score, they just keep possessing the ball, it goes into the next overtime.
Because the other team needs the ball?
But the other team, yes, the other team gets the ball.
But in the regular season, there is only one overtime. Correct. So what happens?
The game ends.
The game ends.
Now,
what do you mean the game ends? So the rule is not really a rule then. Because if one team owns the football for the entire 10-minute period.
And say misses the field goal, then the game is over?
Right. Whatever happens first, either the overtime period ends or both teams possess the ball.
Interesting. So the rule of both teams have to possess the ball only matters if there's enough time for both teams to possess
the ball. Correct. Which brings in the strategy. If you feel like, and we get the data, that these drives aren't going 9 minutes, 8 minutes, would you want to give the ball to the opponent knowing you're getting the ball back and give yourself the opportunity at the end? I'm not playing for the time, going for two if I get my touchdown.
It's a fair strategy. Because in the old days, it would be, I can't give them the ball first because if they score a touchdown, the game's over. Now you know you're getting the ball back, assuming they don't use the full 10 minutes.
It's just like deferring the opening kickoff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want the ball in the second half. I want the second possession of overtime.
I think I'd want the second possession.
Of course you did, because if they kick the field goal, you know you have to score a touchdown. And at least you'll settle for the field goal.
Yeah.
If you're just going to play for the tie.
So do you like this?
I'm going to be aggressive and I'm going to go for the win. I do actually like it, but I do think you're right. It could lead to more ties.
Yeah, especially if they're keeping it at only 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, most possessions are not a full 10 minutes, obviously, but 2 5-minute possessions, and there you go. Mm-hmm. And it's all over.
I mean, the Seattle game last year, the Giants' first possession was almost 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It might have been actually 10 minutes.
Now, that means more ties, but the good thing about ties, there is a positive to ties. The positive about ties is it makes the tiebreakers a little bit easier to comprehend at the end of the year,
right?
Because there aren't as many, because some teams are a half game off. There will be some 9-7-1 teams and some 9-8 teams. So that rule change has gone through. Number two, the tush push remains. They are tabling it, which means they're going to talk about it again a year from now. So the tush-push remains in the NFL. That's number two.
Yeah, Goodell just spoke on this, by the way.
Yes.
And the sense is this is going to get banned. I don't think it's tabled till next season.
So they still may go over it again?
Yeah, they still may go over it again, and he is citing the health factor of it.
Is there really a safety issue, though?
About pushing guys and all of that.
I mean, it's low-speed contact. The Eagles' offensive line basically puts their head in the ground as soon as the ball is snapped and then pushes with their legs. So I don't know where the safety issue is, unless you're just talking about the pile. It doesn't feel like a dangerous play to me.
It doesn't feel like a dangerous play. In fact, the way it feels, I hate to stand up for Philadelphia here, is that teams, too many teams, are just bitter that they can't stop it, nor can they run it.
Right.
So let's just ban it. And I don't think that's the way we should go about things in life.
I think you're right about that. Because other teams try it, they're just not good at it because they're not disciplined. Their front five are not disciplined enough to keep their heads all the way into the ground.
Yeah.
They stand up.
Right.
I showed you guys last year.
No, you did.
The Bills, three offensive linemen's heads are above the defensive line. You're going
to
lose.
And Sean McDermott's one of the guys trying to get it banned. Apparently it was split. Like it's 16-16, and you need a lot more than that, obviously, to pass a rule. The other one that got tabled was a proposal from the Detroit Lions to reseed in the NFL playoffs so that if you win 14 games and you don't win your division,
you still got a
home game.
I would have liked that one. Because you look at the Minnesota Vikings, who were 14-3 and as good a football team as there was last year in the NFC, and they go on the road to play the first game. It just stinks.
Well, I think winning a division matters.
Yeah, but what if the two best teams in the conference are in a division?
I think there's a way to solve this, and I'm going to tell you the way. I've worked very hard on this, so don't mock me. I've even written it down on a little document here. I'm realigning the NFL.
Here we go.
I'm realigning the National Football League, not the way you guys think. The Jets and Giants are not in the same division. I'm not screwing with the NFC and the AFC.
All right, thank God.
I am combining the AFC East and the AFC North to create one giant AFC East. And I'm combining the AFC West and the AFC South to create a jumbo AFC West. Same thing in the NFC. So the Giants, Eagles, Cowboys, Commanders, Vikings, Packers, Bears, and Lions will reform a brand new jumbo NFC East.
Okay, so what's the point of doing these jumbo now East?
Thank you very much for asking that question. The reason we're going to do that is because you win your division, you automatically get those home games and a first round bye. You also create new rivalries. The way I would do it is you play four teams in your division twice like normal, and then the other teams you play once, and it switches off every year if you're home and road.
That sucks.
Why does that suck?
Because right away...
I haven't even finished, and you're telling me it sucks. Because it's very offensive.
This is the problem, okay? And this is why I don't love the idea of disrewarding a division champion. Now you're already creating imbalance in terms of your divisional play within its own division and crowning a division champ. Because if you have, let's say you have three gobbledygook terrible teams, okay? What if one team plays all three of those teams twice and they are your division champ and you find out they're the three worst teams in football?
I have a proposal then because I was ready for this. You play everybody in your jumbo division twice. That's 14 games. The remaining four, because we're going to have an 18-game schedule, switches off. So every one, two, three, four, every 6 years.
So you're not playing the West at all?
Well, you're playing each team outside of your division once every 6 years instead of once every 4 years when it's outside of your conference.
That sucks, too.
Creates new division rivalries. All of a sudden, the Giants and the Lions hate each other. All of a sudden, think that's cool?
No,
the Jets and the Ravens.
Part of the
beauty, Steelers and the Bills.
I like the idea of just having six games involving twice and then a lot of parity to the rest of the schedule. But now you're overdoing the twice.
Right. Okay, but the reason I say that is because Tiki's right. When there's only four teams in a division, it's easy or easier for the division to suck or to be really good.
Right.
So by loading
up... like the AFC East for the Patriots and everybody else, it felt like for a long time.
But if you load up a division with eight teams, I think the likelihood of it being dominated or you being like a seven-win team that makes the playoffs gets limited. I just think it's better. True. And it creates new rivalries.
I can't stand it. I'm
really?
Sorry.
Is that bad?
I give you an effort.
Interesting thought, but probably no chance.
You need the sport to have more games than be on 18. That'll never happen to make that kind of work. Here's the big problem.
I just think four teams in a division is too small. That's my overall opinion. I don't like it.
I flip around and look at this. I don't think this is that big an NFL problem or an issue about their... Now, I understand, all right, better record, you want to be rewarded. In the end, if you are the five seed playing on the road at the worst division winner, You know the way fans travel and stuff. Is it that big a deal, really? Just reward the division winners with the one home playoff game. And if you don't like it, go win your own division.
So you wouldn't change anything, is your opinion?
I actually wouldn't. I think of all the problems in football, this actually isn't broken. It doesn't happen every year either.
So I agree with you. I would not have it changed where a team that finishes in second place just because they won 13 or 14 games gets a home game. I agree with you. I'm trying to solve it in a different way. And the way I would solve it is not by having 14 divisions, by having eight teams in a division. I just think it's better, but Sean hates it. Did you like it, Tiki, or not really?
Yeah, I'm so.
Wow.
The other rule change, by the way, that is being instituted is that the NFL will implement Hawkeye to measure first down. So it's not the chip in the football.
Mm.
It is six HK cameras for optical tracking of the ball's position. Now, they'll have the chain gain still there as a secondary backup, but the same technology that we've watched forever at tennis will now be used to determine first downs.
As it should.
And it will be done by outside of the field. The official on field, the referee on field will be notified, and it should take about 30 seconds as opposed to a minute and whatever, 25 seconds.
You're going to miss those old men running on the field with the chains?
No, they frustrated me all the time.
I'm sure.
Because it's like, how do I know you put the pin which marks the down marker? Did you put it at the back of the line, to gain, or the front of the line to gain? And when you've run on the field, are you putting it at the back of the line or the front of the line to gain? Or are you putting it in the middle of the line to gain? There's just so much, and especially when you're talking about literal inches, there's just so much error when you look at the chain game.
And you think this will be, not perfectly accurate, but very accurate, right?
It will be... We've seen it in tennis. Like, it's amazing how they get those calls right in tennis. And it's virtual. It's just, it's all because of the camera angles. And you know, was that ball in or did it nick the line by a quarter of an inch?
That's a change we could all get behind.
100%.
We want it to be more accurate in the
app. And it speeds it up.
Absolutely. And the last thing is, we had the dynamic kick last year. They're going to keep the dynamic kick. But touchbacks, instead of being at the 30, will be at the 35.
I don't mind that.
So they're basically telling you, kicking team, don't kick it into the end zone.
Yes.
And obviously, if you're the receiving team, return it. Last year, the format, the dynamic kick, had 32% of kicks going into a return.
Mm-hmm.
So 32% of the time, there was a return. A year earlier, it was 21%.
Right.
So it definitely increased by a significant margin. And I guess the hope is that number can go from 32% to, let's say, 40%.
Right.
Or 38%. So those are your rule changes in the NFL. I think this is Matt in Staten Island. Did we say that you were going to ask your weekly Tiki Barber White Lotus question today at 4:20? Was that you?
Hey, absolutely.
All right. Well, it's 4:50, so we're a half hour late, but the floor is yours to ask Tiki whatever you want.
All right. So first off, before we go into the White Lotus, I just want to say, Evan, I was thinking about your pizza debacle with the Final Four.
Yeah.
Here's my advice to you: 287 Hudson Street. Adore LA.
Oh, yeah.
My friend Mike is one of the co-owners with Rick.
Right.
Just go Adore LA.
That's the spot. The time. And Matt, it's three blocks from here.
Phenomenal pizza.
Right.
Phenomenal pizza. Phenomenal. Just, you got to go there. Adore LA.
Now, we love Adore LA. There you go. Thank you very much.
All right. Now, here's my two questions for Tiki. You ready?
Go ahead.
Number one, in every season, I backtracked and I watched the first two seasons.
Good.
Over the last week. I binged them. Phenomenal.
The one thing I noticed
was that there's like, yes, there's always this like a division or a class issue with the workers at the hotel and the ultra rich people that are living there.
That is correct.
Do you think that the girl, I think her name is Mook, do you think that she's in on the robbery and distracting the security guard? That's my first question. My second thing is this. Here's my second thing.
Hmm.
Did you notice the way Rick looked at the old man?
Yes.
Last episode?
Yes.
My hunch is that the old man is not the guy that killed his father. It is his father.
I completely agree with you on Rick. And especially because of how, I forget the character's name, the old man. How he responded.
John Hollinger.
Yeah, John Hollinger. When Rick told him his mom's name, and he was like, Gloria, whatever. Gloria, like,
yeah, interesting.
Like, you think I killed her? Like, he's probably going to say, I'm your dad. Like, that's what he was waiting to do. But Rick got impatient and pushed him over. Sorry if we're spoiling this for people.
I was about to ask.
It's Tuesday.
We've got.
But Mook is interesting because Gaitok,
yeah,
and Mook were at the fight.
Yep,
and Gaitok noticed the guys who robbed
the Russian guys. Yep,
the Russian guys. He noticed them and he started piecing it together in his mind. And she kept distracting him. So
I could see that twist. I hadn't pondered that one.
Yeah, I hadn't pondered that one either, but I could see it happening.
I have no idea what just happened.
It's.
She's scummy to Gaitok, I'm telling you right now.
This was a frustrating episode because nothing happened.
Yeah.
Again, but you got more details on what potentially is going to happen.
And the finale is 90 minutes. They basically set it up as a 7-part to get to a movie.
Do you think a lot of people are pissed that you spoiled something?
No.
Okay. I have no idea.
Watch it on Sunday.
All right.
Or Monday, like I did.
Oh, you're getting angry. I didn't say you spoiled me. I'm just asking. I have no idea. I've never seen the show. I don't even know what you're saying. It's like a different language.
Oh, well, there you go.
Okay.
So I just spoke Taiwanese.
Yes, basically.
Not Taiwanese.
Sean's got
Taiwanese.
A...
What do they speak in Taiwan?
Let's go with Taiwanese. Thailand.
Thailand? Thailand.
Or Taiwan and Thailand are different.
I know that.
Places.
So what is the native language of Thailand?
I think you speak Thai.
Thai. So
Yeah, I think it's as simple as that.
Yes, you're right.
Thank you very much. Sean's got a Cinco de 5-0 coming up in 5 minutes, plus your calls at 888-808-1019.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table. And Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie.
But since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.